Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Okay, well, ladies, let's get into it. I think many of you, if you've been going to Sisters in Sandton this year already, you would know that the Sisters' theme for this year is hopes and dreams. Yes, hopes and dreams. And Pastor Vilma has already shared two very powerful messages this year to just set up that theme and really to just get us dreaming again, to start reigniting passion in our hearts and in our minds after what has really felt, I don't know about you, like a very long season of life on pause. Amen. Anyone with me? You got to be responsive, because otherwise I'm going to badger you, and that's not nice. It has. It's felt like life on pause, and finally, we are starting to make headway, and so I love the theme for this year, because it really is time to reawaken, ladies, and if you haven't been reawoken yet, I pray that after tonight, you're going to be encouraged to start to move into the purpose and the plans that God has for your life, because He has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us here this evening, and it is unique. And in order to understand and know that purpose, we have to be awake. Awake to His voice. Awake to the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. We get this one life. This one life is our gift. And we get to decide what we're going to do with it. And the thing is, we can choose that we're going to look to God, to grow in Him, to discover what that purpose and that plan is, and then to steward it as best as we can. Amen. And of course, it's a journey. We always talk about the journey. We understand it's a journey, and we're all at different stages on the journey, and that's good, and that's okay. And those of us that are further ahead, we can encourage and help the others along. But as long as we stay on the journey, as long as we stay on the path, God will work in us. Amen. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight, is that in order for us to really start to live out this purpose and step into the plans that God has for us, there's something that I've discovered personally that is vitally important that we have to get right so that we aren't just dreaming, but actually doing. And this vital area of our lives that I'm going to talk about tonight is our thinking. Our thinking. The word tells us in Proverbs 4:23, be careful what you think. Be careful what you think. Why? Because your thoughts will run your life. That's pretty heavy going. Your thoughts will run your life. And I have discovered, as I'm sure many of you have, that this is indeed true. And this is the thing, ladies. It's up to you and me to be careful about what we think, because nobody else is going to, and nobody else can, unfortunately, do it for us. So it's you and me, baby. It's up to you and me to be careful what we think. And we have an enemy, we know this, an enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his main aim is to keep us, by doing anything he can, from the purpose that God has for our lives and from stepping into the plans that God has for us. But we can succeed if we do not allow his tactics to get the better of our thoughts and our emotions. So we need to be equipped spiritually and practically to fight our fight, to fight our way into the future that God has for us. This is actually a fight. In case you didn't know, you know now, this is a fight. We have to fight for that future that God has for us. And it starts with aligning our thoughts and our thinking with that of God's. So I've called tonight's message, Mind Your Mind. Mind your mind. Everybody say, mind your mind. Mind your mind. Good, you're awake, yay. Do you know that the phrase, how's this, fear not or don't be afraid, appears in the Bible 365 times. How amazing is God, our Heavenly Father? I think He had an inkling, an idea that we kind of needed encouragement in this area to fear not and to not be afraid. So He gave us a reminder, one for every single day. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't found them, and in fact, I haven't found them all, let's make it a challenge, actually. We'll talk about this next month. Let's make it a challenge. Let's go and find those 365 fear nots, don't be afraid, and then let's make a point. How's this? Put this in your diary. This is just for free. Holy Spirit. put this in your diary, put a reminder, and read one of those encouragements every day, because we have to do this life unafraid in Jesus' name. Who agrees with me that we have had some really crazy stuff going on in the last couple of years? Just a few of us. The rest of you are amazing. You know those 365 already. I know that there are women here tonight that even have some crazy stuff going on in their worlds right now. And I don't know about you, but Pastor Adi's here, so I can't lie, and he's going to attest to this. But when my life gets crazy, I get kind of crazy. Just me? I don't know. I really don't always handle stress very well. And if I'm not careful, I can start to go down a road of negative thinking. And in this space, because I don't believe it's just me, in this space, we can do and say things that we really later regret and wish we hadn't said. We can allow our emotions to cloud our judgment and to get the better of us. In fact, we can even start to take our eyes off of God and off His promises and plans for our life. And we can become anxious and overwhelmed. And when I'm in this space, I know I'm not living my best life. And it can be really discouraging for me. I don't know about you. And the reason I find it so discouraging and so frustrating is because I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm allowing the enemy to do. I know it. And I know that I should be doing better. And I think even today, gosh, I think the enemy really wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about tonight, that I knew full well what it means to talk about stress and anxiety, because it was a very stressful day. And us girls, we can be so hard on ourselves, right? I've noticed that through my pastoral appointments. Women can be very tough on themselves. I find guys let themselves off the hook a lot easier. And I'm one of those people that tend to overthink. We're called overthinkers. And I don't know if you knew, but there's actually such a thing as overthinking. I saw a meme the other day. Maybe some of you can relate. It said this: my therapist says I have a problem with overthinking everything. So that's given me a lot to think about. Oh gosh, if you can't relate, make sure you're paying attention for someone else tonight, because it took me a lot of overthinking to prepare this message, okay? Okay, but in all seriousness, stressing, anxiety, worry, overthinking, feeling anxious, feeling insecure is not a good place to live, and it's not a productive way to live. And so the good news tonight is that you are not alone, because first and foremost, God is in this with you and I. And secondly, our sisters here are with us. Amen. And this is the awesome thing about sisters, is that we're pretty much similar in this area, because women are naturally prone to being nurturers. Well, we were created to be nurturers, so I hope we're prone to being nurturers. But God has wired us to care. He's wired us to nurture. So we're generally quite sensitive. And like anything in life, there are pros and cons to all of these things. But I've got some keys for us. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I've got some keys with us that are personal, really, from my own journey and from the Word of God, to help us learn how we can win in this area. And so I want to share a story that really spoke to me and will help frame this message. And believe me, we are getting somewhere. You already know the message title, so that's good. But I've got to set this up well for you before we get to the point. Okay. So this story is a true story about a guy, a chap named Richard Sutton, who works with Olympic athletes around the world, coaching them on, how's this, coaching them on performance, resilience, and stress. And in a recent News 24 article, he wrote this. He wrote, "While the world faces and fights a pandemic, there's another one that we've been fighting a lot longer, stress." Everybody say stress. Everybody say, "I hate stress." Amen. In 2016, he says, the World Health Organization classified stress as the 21st century's health epidemic. So many of today's diseases can be linked to stress, and multiple studies have proven how much shorter human life becomes when people are constantly in a state of stress, whether due to work, relationships, finances, or trauma. COVID-19 clearly tipped the scales of stress, and our coping mechanisms are not keeping up. Sutton says he is no stranger to stress like us. You see, a while back, he moved to Beijing to head up China's Olympic team. How amazing is that, right? Well, it didn't start amazing. He goes on to say this. He says, I moved to this foreign environment where basically every possible stress lever was pulled to its max. It was socially isolating. We all know how that feels after lockdown. It sucks. He says, it had a very authoritarian regime and no form of support where you were valued. You were just a number. How sad. It was a very hard existence for a six-month period where I found myself drifting down to a low mood, corrosion of self-esteem, and a loss of optimism. This is a man we're talking about who encourages and coaches others about resilience and stress, and he found himself in this place. But then he gets an opportunity to go to Wimbledon in the UK for a month. And while he's there, he realized just how happy he was in China. And as his time came to going back to China, he started dreading his return. But one day, he's at the gym with a friend, complaining, as one does, about his hardships and how tough his situation was. And she gave him two very good pieces of advice. And I think we need to listen and pay attention, because these are two very good pieces of advice, as he says. And the first one was, she told him that pressure is a privilege. Pressure is a privilege. We're like, hmm? She said this. She said, the fact that you're in this position and have been given this amazing gift to be at the helm of a team that can win the Olympic Games is a privilege, amen? And here you are, Richard, complaining about the circumstances. You're not seeing it for what it is. And the second thing she told him was that, Richard, all champions in life adapt. All champions in life adapt. But she said to him, gosh, this is a real friend, one who speaks the truth. But she said what he had done was he went into this new culture completely rigid, trying to hold on to a life that didn't exist anymore. And that day, everything changed for dear Richard. By the time he landed back in Beijing, he had a completely different outlook on his situation, so much so that he started learning Mandarin. And he made a concerted effort to start socializing and connecting with the people that he worked with. And he says it went from 6 months of struggle to more than 2 years of the best experience of his life. I love it. Come on, give Richard a clap. I don't even know if Richard is a Christian, but I think Richard is good for Richard. He closes the article with this. He says this. I always thought stress was about control of the physical, or the circumstances, if you will. But stress, he said, is very much about the psychological. I think Richard is very right. So often, ladies, it is our mindset, this, that needs to change, not necessarily the circumstance. And what Richard Sutton discovered is actually biblical truth. You know, when you and I allow stress and worry to take over, we can look at the most incredible opportunity or gift from God with negativity and even disdain, and we can totally miss out on the blessing that God actually had for us. All these emotions that we've been talking about, these negative emotions, can take us down a very dangerous road. And I speak from experience, because I'm going to share something with you that I've fought for over 27 years. For over 27 years, I've fought anxiety. And I'm not just talking about worry, I'm talking about anxiety. And anxiety, for those who don't know, is a product of what Richard was talking about. It's a product of unchecked stress, trauma, or constant worry. And sadly, living with anxiety has become very common in today's world. And it's not God's plan for us to live like this. Amen. So just to give you some context to my story, I had my first panic attack when I was just 17. That was a long time ago. And I was caught completely off guard, because panic attacks are known to just come out of nowhere. So back then, we didn't have Dr. Google to go to and find out what's going on. No, in fact, I think dial-up had just, I think it was just sort of introduced at that time, dial-up. Who remembers dial-up? Anyone know what dial-up is? Right. Okay, so I didn't have access to the loads of information that we have access to now. So I didn't have a cooking clue. I'd never even heard the word panic attack or even anxiety. So I had no frame of reference as to what was going on in my body. All I knew that what had suddenly happened out of nowhere was that my thoughts just completely started racing. It felt like my head was spinning. I couldn't think straight at all. I couldn't think clearly. My heart was pounding so hard and fast, I thought it was just going to like leap out of my chest onto the desk in front of me because I was at school at the time. And I couldn't breathe properly. And the worst thing was that this overwhelming sense of fear and actually dread came over me. If you've ever had a bad panic attack, you will know what I'm talking about. And what was so weird was that I was in a safe place. There was nothing around me that was a threat to me. I was at school. I was with my friends. There was nothing that was a threat. And yet I found myself in this insane state of panic. And because of what I'd seen in the movies back there, again, remember back then, you know, we didn't have information. Back then, what I'd seen in the movies that if you're going crazy, they put you in this very scary place and put this white thing around you with a cell that's got cushioning all around. And that's where you stay. And so because of what I'd seen in the movies and because of what I figured was going on, I figured I'm going crazy. So I don't want to go to that place. So I just will not tell anyone and I'll just, I don't know, go crazy on my own until I've figured this out. Anyhow, I lived in this perpetual state of absolute severe anxiety and daily panic attacks for 6 months. Until I couldn't take it another second. In fact, I even wrote my matric trials like this. I don't have a clue how. I even actually got 3 A's. That can only be but by the grace of God. And I wasn't even serving God back then. But anyway. But when I finally got help, the thing is, because I had left it so long, what started with just one panic attack had turned into a full-on anxiety disorder. And so began a lifelong journey of learning how to rebuild, our theme at Rivers this year. Learning how to rebuild, learning how to mind or care for my mind. And the reason I talk so openly about this, and I pretty much always have, is because I'm passionate for other people to know that there is hope and there is help out there for us. If we would just not keep silent, but we would reach out to someone, a pastor, a friend, a doctor, anyone, there is help and there is hope. And our God is a God of healing and restoration. Amen. You know, I have come across so many people, not just women, men, grown men, big, strapping men, in tears because of panic attacks and anxiety, and they don't know what to do with it. So we all deal with stress, worry, maybe anxiety, maybe it's panic attacks, whatever the case may be, to some degree or another. So I believe that what we're going to learn right now, some keys from the Bible and from my life, is going to help each and every one of us. Amen. I love what Dr. Caroline Leaf says. She's a well-known neuroscientist, and she says this. She says that science is only now catching up with what the Bible has been telling us all along. How awesome is God? The Word tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he or she. We are a product of our thoughts. And because I didn't address my thoughts for so long, I had become a mess. I actually felt like I couldn't trust my mind anymore. I felt like I was this victim to this fearful negative thinking because I felt I had no control over it. And who knows, when you can't trust your mind, you have a little bit of a problem because it kind of goes everywhere with you, 24/7, 365. But the truth is we can control our thinking. And so right now, let's look at some keys so that we can start building a healthy mind, healthy thinking, so that we can live well and think well. And so the first point, hallelujah, she got there. The first point is where it starts for us as Christians. The first thing that we must believe is that God cares, and he wants you to care about the state of your mind too. When you're in a low place mentally, as I said before, you can start to doubt God. You can start to doubt that he sees you or that he even cares about what's going on. And so you need to know that he does see you and he does care. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares for you. And because he cares for you, you need to care about you too. You need to care about you too, because we're supposed to care about the things that God cares about. And some of us, we let God do the caring and we don't care so much for ourselves, but we have a part to play in our own well-being. Amen. A different translation of the scripture that we read first tonight in Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And here we've got Solomon, who's the wisest man in the world ever, telling us that above all else, we should guard our hearts. And the interesting thing about the word heart here, it comes from the Greek word cardios, which refers to our thoughts and our feelings. So when Solomon says, as a man thinks in his heart, he's reminding us that our minds and our hearts are linked. They are linked. And so when you get your thinking right, your heart or your feelings and emotions follow and your life starts to come right. I don't know if you've heard Pastor Andre remind us this. He tells us quite often, how we think is how we will live. So ladies, once you've made a decision, because it's a decision to care about you and your mind and to mind your mind, you then need to act. What you need to do next is to identify what you need to rebuild. Identify what you need to rebuild. And again, because our theme this year is rebuilding, I thought let's look at renovating a house for a moment. What's the first thing you're going to do before you start renovating a house? You do an inspection, right? You do an inspection to find out what kind of a state it is in. What's broken, what's completely in disrepair, what is rotting, what maybe just needs a little bit of a refurb. You do an inspection. And in the same way, if we're going to rebuild or renovate our minds, the place that houses our thoughts, we need to start with an inspection. What is going on up there? There's an article I recently read on the Globalization and Health website that says the emergence of COVID-19 with its rapid spread has exacerbated anxiety in populations globally, leading to mental health disorders in individuals. Therefore, it is necessary to examine and recognize people's mental states in this challenging, destructive, and unprecedented time. And this is what we need to do. We need to examine and recognize or acknowledge the state that we're in so that we know what to do about it. Toxic thoughts like mold in a house can become really unpleasant and even dangerous to live with. And the last 5 years in Belito, myself, Pastor Adi, we can attest to this. Mold grows in Belito. And oh boy, no matter how many dehumidifiers you put in your cupboards, that mold just grows. And you know what it does? It eats away at things. In fact, I think I had to throw away 2 leather jackets because it had eaten away at the leather. How gross is that? And then I had to throw a bunch of belts and other things away because I could not get the stink of that mold out, no matter how hard I tried. But we, on the other hand, especially as God's girls, we can get rid of toxic thoughts like mold. No matter how much they stink, we can get rid of them if we recognize them. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going, well, flip, I don't know how to recognize a toxic, stinking thought, whatever. Well, quite simply, they're the ones that make you feel bad. They make you feel down. They make you feel negative. They make you feel insecure, anxious, even angry, make you feel shame, doubt. Or they also sound often overcritical, either of yourself or of others. And this kind of thinking is often referred to, especially by the Americans. I'm not going to try and say it in an American accent because I suck at that. So I'll say it in English. It's often referred to as stinking thinking. Why? Because they smell rotten. Well, this is why I think it's called stinky thingy. Because they smell rotten and they are rotten. That's exactly what they are. And they make you feel rotten. So girls, once you've acknowledged that you have some stinking thinking, You can then invite God in to help you start a process of transformation by the renewing of your mind. Paul in the Bible, oh gosh, Paul, wonderful Paul. He is the most amazing example and inspiration of someone who lived through the most dire circumstances and persecution, and yet he always managed to remain faithful, at peace in his heart, and he experienced the joy of the Lord no matter what. And we can really learn from him because he actually shares so much wisdom and so many practical keys as to how he managed to live this way in these situations. And in Romans 12, verse 2, Paul urges us that we do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the New Living Translation says it this way: let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Do you see how so much of our character, our Christian character, is built based on the way we think? The way we change the way we think is by learning and practicing how to, number three, take captive every thought. Again, blessed Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Why? To make it obedient to Christ. Demolish arguments and pretensions, Paul says. Say demolish.
Demolish.
And pretensions. Anyone know what pretensions are? I had to look it up. Anyway, these are very strong words. So firstly, demolish literally means to tear down or break apart the structure of. And then the word pretension, I discovered. The Latin root of this word is the same as to pretend. So in other words, something that is fake. So think about that house renovation again. If there are pretensions used in the building of this house, in other words, if you find fake building material has been used in the building, it has to be what? Demolished, torn down, removed, and then replaced with sound material so that the house is strong and can withstand the elements. And it's exactly the same with our minds. You need to demolish, tear down, remove fake or false thinking. And then you need to replace and rebuild with truth. Rebuild with truth so that you are strong, just like that house, and can withstand the storms of life that will come against you and I. And the world we live in, ladies, is full of pretensions, right? False, fake. I just think of Instagram. False, fake filters. fake thoughts and agendas. Oh gosh, the false and fake agendas that are thrown at us. False thinking. And God, because of his love for us, he cautions us about following the ways and thinking of the world, because he knows that the ways of the world and the thinking of the world only breeds confusion, serious confusion, negativity, fear, insecurity, low self-esteem, all the things that we've been thinking about that we don't want. And unfortunately, many of us have become very much glued to our devices. Look straight ahead. But I will confess again, simply because my husband's here. No, I'll just confess to you anyway, that I was literally addicted to my various news apps during lockdown. And it really started having a negative impact. It's called doom scrolling, if you didn't know. Scrolling for doom. And just this morning, in fact, the first thing I wake up to switch off my phone alarm, and up pops a notification from news something or other. I won't tell you what. Telling me that the dreaded Delta variant is making its way back. Maybe, it says. Who knows, that's not how I wanted to start my day. Again, I feel like the enemy was really testing me in light of what I was preparing for tonight. Do you know, this is the saddest thing. Studies actually show that we are more likely to look for negative news than for positive news. Isn't that awful? That's very bad for our mental and emotional well-being. And ladies, we can't be like that. We are God's girls. And so when we find ourselves doom scrolling, we need to stop in Jesus' name and look for something positive. The same article that I quoted just now says research shows that people who follow COVID-19 news the most, guilty, experience more anxiety because most news on COVID-19 is distressing. Sometimes it's associated with rumors and misinformation, and fabricated reports about COVID can exacerbate depressive symptoms, whereas accurate, positive information can reduce anxiety levels. And it's the same with so much of the media that we consume. And so we really have to be discerning, and we really have to sift so that we can guard ourselves from becoming negative and anxious and from starting to believe the lies that we're fed. There's an American psychiatrist. His name is Dr. Daniel Amen. I like it. And he has some really great advice to help us take captive or to capture the ants in our head. Did you know that you have ants living in your head? Did you not know? You do. Luckily, they're not those black chochos or red ones. Ants, Dr. Amen's ants, they are automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts. Aren't you grateful that they're those and not, yeah, anyway. So what happens in our minds is that when we start a pattern of worry and negativity, our mind automatically continues down that path. So it's perpetuating that negative cycle. It builds neural pathways, they call it. And he gives some very good advice and a tip here to deal with this. He says this, pay attention, ladies. To kill the ants, you'll never look at an ant the same way again. To kill the ants, write down what you're thinking whenever you feel mad. Everyone say mad. Sad. Nervous or out of control. Then, once you've written these down, ask yourself if the thoughts are factually true or whether you're actually jumping to a conclusion or making an assumption. He says challenging the ants helps to take away their power. Love that. He says you don't have to believe every thought you have. Say amen to Dr. Amen's wisdom. Ladies, just because you and I feel something doesn't make it true, right? Your feelings always go back to your thoughts or the ants that you're allowing to take up room in your head. And this is actually the practice of renewing our minds. It's identifying, capturing every negative thought, and then replacing it with a positive one, or taking the lies. Stop, clear, you're thinking a lie. That's not true. Is it true? No, it's not. Right, what is the truth? Replace it with the truth. And this takes work, but it works. Trust me, it works, because I've had to do this for 27 years. So Paul, once again, gives us such wisdom in what's known as the happiest book in the Bible, Philippians. Do you know that Paul wrote this when he was in chains, in prison, and it's known as the happiest book in the Bible? And if we can get this right, what Paul tells us here, we are on our way to a happy, peace-filled heart and mind. Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9, he says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I love this. The message says, fix your thoughts. Yeah. Fix your thoughts on all these wonderful things that we've just read. So Paul is telling us here that it takes practice. He says you have to put it into practice. So it's intentional. But over time, you will find yourself much more easily recognizing the ants and instinctively, like subconsciously, starting to take them captive and replace them with the truth. It's quite amazing how God has designed our brains. But then our last point tonight. Our last point is the key to all of this. Because in order to replace a lie with the truth, you need to know the truth of God's word and his promises so that you can speak them over your life. Of course, it's only when you know the truth that you can recognize a lie. And the enemy is the great deceiver. He wants to magnify and play on your flaws, on your fears, on your failings and doubts, anything that will hinder you from going forward in God. That is his sole aim, is to deceive, to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is what God wants. God wants you and I tuned into his voice. His voice. His voice, ladies, is a voice of love. It's a voice of grace, of strength, of wisdom, encouragement, hope, healing, joy, and peace. He does sometimes bring correction to you. Yes, he does. But he does it in a loving way to build us up because he loves us, not break you down. Yeah. What an amazing God we have. Jesus, our precious Lord, says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The more you listen to his voice, the more you will start to believe it. And then you'll be able to live out what it says. How do we listen to his voice? Very simply, by reading his word. That's the only way you're going to discover who God is and who you are in God, how very valuable you are to him. When you don't know this, girls, you are going to be unconvinced that you're worth more than the lies that the enemy wants you to believe. And if you don't know this tonight, I want to encourage you to ask God, really ask him for a revelation of who he calls you, of who he thinks you are, because he calls you his masterpiece. Did you know that? He doesn't call you an accident or a mistake or a failure, a write-off or a mess. You may feel like your life is a mess right now. You may feel like you're a mess right now, but you aren't. You are not a mess. Your life may be in a mess, but you are not a mess. There's a very big difference. And our beautiful God specializes in cleaning up mess. I can tell you that from personal experience. And David knew full well that he was God's masterpiece. He said to God in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. If only we could all say that about ourselves. We need to get to that place because God loves you. And as I said before, his promises and his plans for your life, yes, yours, not just the sister next to you or behind you, each of ours are good. He reassures us of this throughout the word, but in Jeremiah 29, he reassures us of this so beautifully. He says, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Ladies, if you've been abandoned in life by someone, some people have been abandoned even by their parents, you need to know God will never, never, ever, ever, ever abandon you. Even if you abandon him. And again, I know because I abandoned him for a while, but he never abandoned me, and he was there when I turned back to him. So he says he will not abandon you, but he has plans to give you the future that you hope for. When you call on me, he says, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. That is our God. He never disappoints us. So ladies, I want to encourage you tonight to start to call on him. And get serious about knowing who he is, about knowing his word and his promises so that you can indeed speak them over your life, so that you can take his truth and replace the lies with his truth, and so that you can find out who you are in him and how much he loves you. And then it's easy, because when you hear anything that's in contrast to his word, you know that is a lie. So as we close tonight, ladies, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope this has been helpful to you. As we close, the good news is that over the years, I've discovered, sounds like bad news, but we'll get to the good news, that you can spend your life ruminating or overthinking on everything that's wrong and worrying about everything and anything that might go wrong. Or you can spend that same amount of time and energy reminding yourself of God's truth and His promises and His good plans for your life, talking to Him in prayer, reading His word, and choosing to trust that what He says is indeed true. When we choose to do this, then we begin to know God's promise in Isaiah 26, where He says that He will keep in perfect peace all who trust in Him and whose thoughts are fixed on Him. Years have passed since that first panic attack, many years. Am I 100% cured? No, I'm not. I am absolutely not. Have I seen incredible improvement in my life? Has God taken me forward and upward? In Jesus' name, He absolutely has. I still have to monitor my thinking, like we all do. I still have to do the work to continually be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because we're all called to guard our hearts and to be careful with what we think, because everything we do flows from here. But I can testify that doing these things works. God has helped me grow from a very fearful, anxious, panic-struck girl who back then in the early 2000s of Rivers Church, Sandton, very small building now called The Zone, I would only sit at the very back in the corner right next to the exit just in case I had a panic attack and I needed to leave, to me now being able to stand in front of you and share God's truth. I stand here to share God's truth. And I hope that you're encouraged to turn to God to find hope and peace in Him. This is my prayer for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.